Well, good morning. I'd like to add give you all a warm welcome to our service this morning in Oughton Park. If you're visiting, you're really welcome, and if you're a regular, you're also very welcome as well. We'll just begin with a few notices. First of all, I'd like to welcome James. James Howlett, who will be preaching for us this morning and this evening. He's here with his family as well, so a really warm welcome to you. As we look at the week ahead, there's a few things to mention. Tomorrow evening at 7:30, there will be a Zoom prayer meeting for SGA. If you were here on Friday, it was a really, really blessed time, as we heard some updates from Mark Foster about the work of SGA at the moment with regards to Russia and Ukraine and the situation over there. So there's a prayer meeting specifically for that. If you want the Zoom link, there's an email address there to contact, which is in the notice sheet for you. On Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. is the ladies' meeting. And then on Wednesday, we don't have our normal midweek prayer meeting here at Oughton. We have a joint prayer meeting also at 7:30. That's at Pemberton Free Grace Church. So our meeting's not being cancelled, but if you could join us in Pemberton, that would be really good as we meet with other churches from our local area to pray. On Thursday at 10 o'clock, Little Fishers will be this week, and then YPF on Friday here at the church at 7:30. A few other things I'd just like to draw your attention to as well. Please remember Colin and Rosie in prayer this week, as they both have operations and they're in hospital. So please remember Colin and Rosie in prayer this week. On the Tuesday, the 22nd of March, we have a church members meeting, which will be regarding church membership. So if you are a member, please make a note of that date, Tuesday, the 22nd of March, for a church members meeting. Billy's also asked me this morning to mention about John and Rose. They're currently looking for a house, as we know, in this area close to the church, as they look to move to Oughton in the future. But at the moment, they're still living in Lee. So if anyone would be able to host them on a Sunday afternoon over the next month or two, please speak to them. They're not here today, but I'm sure you'd be able to catch them on Wednesday or next week. If any families in the church would be able to, that would be a real help, I'm sure, for them of a Sunday. Please have a look at your note sheet as well. Everything else is in there for this week. Before I hand over to James, we'll just read our psalm for this morning. So this morning and this evening, we'll be reading Psalm 78. So if you'd please like to turn there with me, Psalm 78. This morning, we're going to read from the beginning, verse 1, and we're going to read through to verse 16. So I'll read the first verse, congregation the second, and so on through the psalm. Psalm 78, starting at verse 1. Give ear, my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us.
We will not hide them from their children, tell them to the generations to come, the grace of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works.
For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. That they may set their hope in God and not forget in the works of God, but keep his commandments.
And may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that forgets God and does not faithful to God.
The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle.
They did not keep the covenant of God. They
and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap.
In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night and the light and fire.
He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths.
He also brought streams out of the rocks and caused waters to run down like rivers.
May God help us and bless us this morning as we consider his word later.
Well, thank you, Luke, and thank you for your warm welcome this morning. It's good to be with you. We were due to be with you a few weeks ago, but COVID happened, so it's good to be finally with you this morning. Shall we stand and sing together our first hymn? 616, 616, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Let's stand and sing together.
Selling joy.
Let's pray together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great love to us. Father, we thank you that you are a God of love, and we thank you that we are able to meet here this morning and to sing about your love. Father, we thank you that you don't love those who are perfect and who have done something to deserve that love. But Father, we thank you that you love sinners, people who have gone astray, who have rejected you, who've hated you, who have fallen so far short of your standard. Father, we thank you that you set your love on sinful men and women like us. Father, we thank you for your great love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. We thank you that he left heaven, came to this world, became a man. We thank you that he triumphed where we failed. We thank you that he lived a perfect life. And we thank you that his love for us took him to the cross to bear our sin. Father, we thank you that we can be here this morning and we can meet this morning because of what you have done for us in sending your Son to be our Saviour. Father, we pray that you would help us this morning to worship you, to praise you, to think more on all that the Lord Jesus has done for us. Father, we pray that we might go from here loving you more in response to all that you have done for us. Father, we do pray that you'd help us in our worship this morning. Father, we do pray for those who would normally be here, who would love to be here, but perhaps for health reasons or family commitments aren't able to be with us this morning. Father, we pray that you would draw near to any who are perhaps stuck at home or have to be elsewhere. Father, we pray that they would know you close with them today. Father, we pray for those who have operations in the coming week. Father, we thank you that you are a God who knows all things. You are a God who works all things together for good to those who love you. And Father, we pray that those who have operations this week would know you close to them. We pray that you would help them to trust you and rely on you. And may you be pleased to make those operations successful and give quick recovery, we pray. Father, we do pray for our world. We see the news and it seems it's bad news after bad news after bad news. But again, we thank you that nothing is out of your control, that nothing happens without you permitting it. Father, we thank you that you know all things, you plan all things, and even though perhaps much of the news surprises us and it's unexpected to us, Father, we thank you that you knew all along what would happen each day in this world. And Father, we do thank you for the great comfort that it is to know that you are in control and nothing is out of your hands. Father, we do pray for the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Father, we particularly pray for Christians in both those countries. And we pray for Christians in countries bordering Ukraine who are seeking to love those who are coming across the border. Father, we do pray that you would help Christians in that situation, help them to trust you as perhaps they see they're having to flee their homes and see what they know of this earth crumbling. Father, we pray that you'd help them to trust you and give them a great peace, even in the midst of this terrible situation. Father, we pray that you would help Christians to witness to those around in this situation, and that others would see the peace and the joy that your people have and would want that for themselves and would trust for themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray that you would bring peace in these countries, in Ukraine, and work in this situation, we pray. Father, we pray that you would be with us and bless the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing our second hymn. It's 271. 271, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. Let's stand and sing together. Billy has asked if I could just share a bit about myself and a bit about my family, where I'm from, and some testimony. So I'll do that now. And if there's anything you'd like to know that I don't say, well, you can ask me afterwards and find out. But I'm here. I'm James, as I'm sure you know. I'm here with Rosie, my wife, and Isaac, who is 3, and Daniel, who is 6 months. So it's good to be with you. I grew up just south of Bristol, in a place called Clevedon. So it's by the sea. It's a very nice place to grow up. My parents are still there. And I grew up in a very loving Christian home. And right from an early age, I knew what it looked like to serve the Lord, because my parents modelled that for me. And they were busy in the work of the church, busy in evangelism. So they were involved in United, still are involved in United Beach Missions, and fully involved with the church. And so right from an early age, I saw what it was to love God and to serve God. It was modelled for me in the home. And my parents, they'd bring me to church, obviously, each week. But each evening, they'd read to me from the Bible. And at a very young age, when I was just 4 years old, I can remember Mum reading the account, the parable of the wheat and the tares that Jesus told, and explaining that at the end of the world, there's two types of people: those who are like the wheat, who are gathered safely into heaven, and those who are like the tares, who face judgment in hell forever. And as a very young child, as a four-year-old, I can remember fearing going to hell and asking Mum that night, what must I do to avoid hell and go to heaven? And I'm sure Mum and Dad had explained this to me many times before, even as a young child, but Mum explained that night that I had to trust in the Lord Jesus, his death on the cross, that he paid for my sin on the cross, and trust in him and ask him for forgiveness, and I'd be saved from hell and would go to heaven. And so as a young child, understanding very little, but knew that I deserved to be punished, I prayed that night and trusted in the Lord Jesus. And I'm so thankful to my parents for teaching me about the Lord Jesus from a young age, and very thankful that I was saved at a young age, and the Lord was merciful to me. So I grew up, went through school. I've got two younger brothers. We didn't always get on. We squabbled, but they're good brothers, and they both, thankfully too, are following the Lord as well, and are involved in churches where they live. I then had a gap year, and I was able to work for part of it, and I went abroad for 4 months to Indonesia to visit some missionaries there, and that was a real eye-opener. I was very privileged to be able to witness a tribe receiving the New Testament in their language for the very first time, and it made me think of how blessed we are in this country to have had God's word in a language that we know for so many years. So that was a real life-changing experience there, being able to witness this tribe receiving God's word for the first time. I then went to university. I stayed in Bristol, so I lived at home and commuted in. And I started training as a dentist, but didn't like it. It was too fiddly. And so anyway, I got out of that, and then eventually did another year of study in London in medical statistics. And so that's what I do now. I'm a statistician. So I work in Cambridge. I got a job in Cambridge, doing research, medical research as a statistician. That's what I've been doing for the last 7.5 years now. And every time I say that, I think, wow, has it really been that long already? So I've been doing that for a number of years. I was due to move to Cambridge, but I've ended up settling in Bedfordshire. I've got family there and settled there, and I'm involved in a church in a small village in Bedfordshire. It's just over 1,000 homes, but there's a church there, a Baptist church, which we're members of, and able to get involved with there. And the Lord has blessed the work there over the last 10-15 years or so, and people have been converted in the village, which has been a great joy to see that. So that's where we are at the moment. And I should say I got married in 2016, so is that about nearly six years ago? And then Isaac came along 2 years later, 2018, and Daniel just last August, and obviously Rosie and the family and the boys are with us today. So that's a brief background, a bit about myself. Feel free to ask anything you like afterwards, and we can try and answer. But that's a bit about myself. Do turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to look at the first 9 verses this morning, and then, God willing, this evening, look at the rest of the chapter. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll read the first 9 verses together. Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's sing before we come to look at that passage together. 623, O love that wilt not let me go. Let's stand and sing together. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, but before we do, let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you that we do have it in a language that we can understand. Father, we thank you for those who have given their lives to translate the Bible into English so that we can enjoy reading your word. Father, we thank you that you have not left us in darkness. We thank you that you have spoken to us and revealed yourself, revealed the Lord Jesus in your word. We pray that you would speak to us this morning. We pray that you would change us and make us more like our Saviour, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, someone once said this, you are my first thought in the morning, my last thought before I fall asleep, and almost every thought in between. Now, how true that was, I don't know, but it's a nice sentiment, isn't it? And maybe you've said something similar to someone that you love. Or, let me give you a different example. Loretta Lynch, she was a former Attorney General of the US under Barack Obama, and she said this upon taking up that office. She said, I will wake up every morning with the protection of the American people, my first thought. So for her, her first thought was, well, her duty and her role. But I wonder for you, as you wake up in the morning, where do your thoughts go? What is it that you think about when you get up? Perhaps you think, well, it's not that time already, is it? I could do with another half an hour in bed. Or perhaps you go to all the tasks of the day and you think of everything that you've got to accomplish in the day and you think, how am I going to get it all done? What is it that you think about when you wake up in the morning? And not only in the morning, through the day, before you go to bed at night, what is it that you think about? What's on your mind? I'm not asking what is it that you do first thing, what is it that you do throughout the day, but your thoughts, your desires, those things which no one sees except the Lord, where do they go when you wake up? Well, with that question in mind, and we'll come back to it at the end, do turn to Deuteronomy, to that passage that we read. It's quoted many times in the New Testament, and we read verses 4 and 5, very famous verses quoted in three of the Gospels. In the New Testament. And as you read Deuteronomy, we see Moses, his last words to the children of Israel. They've been wandering through the desert for 40 years. And perhaps you know the story. They've been slaves in Egypt. God has rescued them. He's parted the Red Sea. He's brought them out of Egypt. And for 40 years, they've been wandering through the wilderness. And they're about to enter the promised land that God has said that he would give them. They're on the edge, about to go in. And Moses knows that he himself wouldn't go into that land. He's about to die. He's been leading them for 40 years. And so here are his last words to these people. It's a new generation of people. The people that came out of Egypt and received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, well, they're all dead, or those that were 20 and above, because they refused to go into the promised land. And only Joshua and Caleb are still alive. They've all gone. And so it's a new generation that Moses is speaking to. And he reiterates the commands that were given on Mount Sinai. So if you were to read chapter 5, the Ten Commandments are reiterated. But as you read Deuteronomy, what we see is that in chapters 1 to 4, Moses tells the people of Israel who have been saved from Egypt, remember all that God has done for you. Remember everything that God has done for you. And so in chapter 2, we read, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Remember everything that God has done. And then for the bulk of the rest of the book, chapters 4 all the way through to chapter 26, for most of the rest of the book, Moses gives them commands that they are to obey. And so there's some key words in Deuteronomy. Remember what God has done, therefore obey him. Remember, therefore obey. And this is so relevant for us and for you. If you are a Christian, just like the children of Israel, they had been set free from slavery in Egypt. They'd been redeemed. So you have been redeemed. You've been set free from slavery to sin, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And so for you, if you're trusting in Christ, if you're saved, if you know that your sins are forgiven, the message is, remember what God has done, therefore obey him. And it's vital that it is in that order. Remember what God has done, therefore obey him. Moses will give the command to love God in verse 5. You cannot love God, you cannot please God, you cannot obey God as you ought, unless you can look back and remember what Christ has done for you on the cross. You cannot be right with God by obeying him and seeking to please him. You fall short. You need to look back to the cross and remember what Christ has done and say, he suffered on the cross for my sin. And therefore, looking back to what Christ has done, you seek to obey him and love him and please him in your life. So remember and obey. And this morning we're going to look at this great command that God gives. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. 4 points then this morning. Firstly, verses 1 to 3, listen to your God. Listen to your God. This is the build-up to Moses giving this command in verse 5. He wants to get the children of Israel's attention, and he says to them, listen, make sure you're listening to what God is saying. Notice that it is a command from God. It's not a command from Moses. These aren't Moses' thoughts. It's a command from God. Look at verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. This command that Moses will give is from God. There are many different voices you will hear in the world today. You hear the voice of the media, the radio, the TV, the newspapers. You hear the voice of social media. Your peers, you listen to them, your friends, other Christians. You listen to your own desires. Many different voices that you will listen to in the world today. And there might be some value in all or some of these voices. But there's only one voice that you must listen to, that you can trust to be truly reliable. You can trust everything that God says. If God gives a command, you can trust it, and you know that that command is good and right that you should obey. All other voices that you hear are fallible and have weaknesses and have errors and may just be completely opposed to God. But God's voice is the voice that you must listen to and obey. It's infallible. It's true, it's right. Everything that God says, every command that God gives can be trusted. It's a command that comes from God. This command that Moses will give is a command that is to be obeyed and kept and not just heard. It's no good just knowing what the command says but not obeying it. You are to obey this command that Moses gives. Look at verse 1 again. This is the commandment. These are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them. In verse 2, that you may fear the Lord to keep all his statutes. Verse 3, be careful to observe it. This command is to be obeyed and kept and not just heard, and you're not just to know what the command says but not do anything about it. It's a command that you must act on. James says something similar in the New Testament. Be doers of the word and not just hearers. You are to act on this command. And you know that's true in everyday life. It matters what you do with the information that you have. It matters what actions you take. If you've been given some information, the The action that you take matters. Perhaps you think about some of the recent news stories and you think of the parties that went on in Downing Street. Well, at first the question was this. Did the Prime Minister know about the parties? And if he knew, what action did he take? You see, we know it matters when we get some information. We know it matters what action we take. And so it is with this command. Moses tells them to love God with all their heart, soul and strength. It wasn't just to be heard and to know what the word said, but they were to act on that command and obey it. So it's a command from God. It's a command that is to be kept and not just heard. And it's a command that is to be considered carefully. Don't take this command to love your God lightly. Look at verse 3. Be careful to observe it. This command that Moses would give, be careful to observe it. Take care as you hear this command to love God with all your heart, soul and strength. Take care. Think about it. Be careful to observe it. Don't just assume you know how to obey this command. Think about your life and think, how can I keep this command as I ought in every area of my life? Be careful to obey it. Consider it. Don't just assume that you know what this command means. Notice that there's always blessing in hearing God's word and obeying it, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. There's always blessing when you listen to God's words and you obey him. Consider it carefully. Think how you can obey this command to love God. So verses 1 to 3, listen to your God. And then verses 4 and 5, love your God. Moses gives the command, love your God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. He re-emphasizes the point. Hear, listen, take notice of this command. There is only one God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Listen to him. There's only one God. There's only one creator of this world. There's only one who is sovereign over this whole world. There's only one who is worthy of your worship. There's only one who is eternal, without beginning and without end. There's only one who is holy. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one God. Listen to him. Think for a moment where the children of Israel, where they were. They were about to enter the promised land. And think about the promised land. As they went into that land, it was full of people who worshipped false gods. Full of people who bowed down to statues of gold and silver, of stone, of wood. And all around, people would be worshipping false gods. And the temptation would be to fit in and be like them and worship those gods and to love those gods and to serve those gods. And so Moses reminds them, there is only one God. These false gods that the people worship, they can't hear, they can't speak. There is one God. Love him, worship him, obey him. And today, we live in a society where your neighbour worships false gods. Your work colleagues worship false gods. They worship money, relationships, family, pleasure, whatever it might be. All around, people are worshipping false gods. And the temptation is to go with them and to join them and to love those things as well and to our love for God to diminish, and we go after the things that the world go after. The temptation is to follow them all around to worshipping false gods. Remember, there is only one God, the creator of the world. Listen to him, love him, and worship him. Well, then we come to the command to love your God in verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. There's probably no hidden meaning behind heart, soul, and strength. Probably because in other places in Deuteronomy, only heart and soul are quoted. And Jesus, when he quotes this in Mark chapter 12, he adds another one, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the idea here, rather than being some hidden meaning behind heart, soul, and strength, the idea is of completeness. Love God with everything you have. Your whole being is to love God. The idea of completeness. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Every part of you is to love God. Think for a moment what you do for someone that you love. What do your lips do for someone that you love? When you speak of them, you speak well of them, you praise them, you can only say good things about them. Well, if you're to love God, your lips are to praise him and to speak well of God. If you love someone, you serve them with your hands. You'll get up and make them a tea or a coffee in the morning because you know that will please them and love them. Your hands work and serve people that you love. If you love God, your hands will work. You will serve him. You will seek to do his work. Think of an engaged couple. They're in love. They're about to get married. And they're trying to do their work during the day. And it's hard. Why? Because their thoughts are full of the person that they love. And it's a distraction. When you love someone, your thoughts are full of that person. Well, if you love God, your thoughts are full of God and how wonderful he is. That's what your thoughts will be full of. If you love someone, you sacrifice for them. And if you love God, you will look at what he has done for you. Look at what the Lord Jesus has done in bearing his cross for you. And your body will take up a cross and you will sacrifice for him because he has made the ultimate sacrifice for you. Every part of you will love God. Your speech, your actions, your thoughts will show that you love God. There is only one God. Forsake all others. You know the wedding vows. Forsaking all others. What does that mean? That no one else is to come in between that husband and wife. They're to reject all others and love only their spouse. Forsake all other gods and only love God. Be wholly devoted to him. Nothing must come in between your love for God. So listen to your God, verses 1 to 3. Love your God, verses 4 to 5. And then verses 6 to 9, learn from your God. Learn from your God. That is, learn it, memorize it, have it on your heart. Look at verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Have these words on your heart. Memorize them. Know them. And obey them. Now, Orthodox Jews, still today, when they pray in the morning and the evening, they will pray with boxes on their heads, phylacteries, and in those boxes, the words of verses 4 and 5 will be written, and they will pray these words morning and night. On their doors at home, they'll have boxes, and these words are written in those boxes on the doors. But the idea here is not so much about a ritual, having it physically in the doors on your home, having it physically on your forehead, or a ritual where you pray it day and night. But the idea here, a better idea perhaps, is to think of someone who's revising for an exam. Now, some of you might have to go back further in time to remember when you had exams and revising, and others, it will be more recent. But I'm told when you're revising for an exam, or some people when they're revising for exams, all over the house, they'll put cards with notes that they're to remember. So there'll be a card on their bathroom mirror, and it will have a formula which they're to remember. So when they're brushing their teeth, that formula is going in, and the idea is that formula is going in, and so they can remember it in the exam. But all over the house, there are reminders that they've got this exam coming, and they've got to remember the information for the exam. Wherever you go, you are to remember, whatever room in the house you're in, wherever you are, you are to remember this command, not just so that you can recite it and say what it says, but so that you can obey it. A student revising for an exam isn't just trying to remember the information just for the sake of it, so that they can reproduce it in an exam. Don't just learn these words so that you can say, well, I can quote these verses. It's a good thing to remember them and be able to quote them. But so that you can obey it, and so that wherever you are, you will obey this command. There's an idea of completeness, we've said already, with your whole being, your whole heart, soul, and strength. But whoever you're with, you're to obey this command. If you're on your own, you're to obey this command. If you're with your family, you're to talk about this command with them and say, how can we obey this command? If you're at work with colleagues who have no thought of God, you're to think, how can I obey this command? If you're at home with your family, if you're at church with other believers, how will you obey this command to love God? You see, it's not just a command for Sundays or for midweek when you come out to pray, but it's a command for every day of your life. Every time of day, you're to remember this command. When you lie down, verse 7, and when you rise up, this command is to be obeyed. Wherever you are, whoever you're with, whatever time of day it is, you are to obey this command. If you're in your lounge, you're to obey the command. In the kitchen, in the car, driving to work, wherever you are, this command is to be obeyed. And so as you think about your week ahead, we all face different circumstances in our week. Some are retired, some work, some are students, some are housewives. All face different circumstances. But let me urge you, consider your week ahead. Think about the tasks that you expect you'll have to do this week and think, how can I obey God in each of those tasks? How will you love God at work? What does it look like to love God when you're at work? What does it look like to love God when you're sitting down to eat? What does it look like to love God when you're doing the chores at home and you're on your own and no one else is there and you're just trying to get on with the chores? What does it look like to love God? When you have leisure time, what does it look like to love God in that leisure time? When you're driving, when you're seeking to be a parent or a grandparent, when you're doing your homework, when you're opening your mouth to speak, what does it look like to love God? Consider it, be careful to observe it, and let me encourage you, think about your week and think, how will you love God more this week? All of you, all the time, wherever you are, whoever you're with, love God. You know, there's nothing better that you can teach a child than to love God. Whoever you're with, encourage them, urge them to grow in their love for God. So listen to your God, love your God, learn from your God, and finally, the Lamb of God. the Lamb of God. I'm sure you know that the Lord Jesus had much to say about this command. He was asked, what is the greatest command? And what did he say? He quoted Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, it says this, God speaking, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments. You see, the Lord knew before he'd given this command that they wouldn't have that heart. He said, oh, that they would have that heart to keep my commands. He knew that the children of Israel would fail. And as you read the Old Testament, you see failure after failure after failure. And he knew that each of you, he knew that I would fail miserably in keeping this command. We fall so far short. We don't love God as we ought. We can look back and we think how little we love God and oh, that we would love him more. The Lord knew that we would fail and not keep this command as we ought. And so what does he do? He sent his son, the Lord Jesus. And as you read about Jesus, you see someone who did always love his God. He never failed in this command. He always loved God with all his heart, soul and strength. He always did the will of his Father. He never failed in this area. Jesus Christ, the only one to live who has kept this command perfectly. And he says, you know, this is the greatest commandment and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. What a great summary of the Ten Commandments, to love God and to love your neighbour. What a great summary of the law that he knew that none of us would ever keep. On another occasion in Luke chapter 10, a lawyer comes to the Lord Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I wonder what you'd say to that question. Well, Jesus asked the question. He said, well, what does the law say? What's your reading of it? And the lawyer quotes this verse, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength. And what does Jesus say in response to that? Do this and live. See, if you could keep this command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and strength, if you could keep it perfectly, life would be yours. Eternal life would be yours forever. But you know, and I know, that none of us can keep this command as we should. We cannot keep this command and live. Eternal life cannot be ours by keeping this command because we fail so often in this area. But what did Jesus Christ come to do? The one who said this is the greatest command. Well, he came and he died for all the times that we fail in keeping this command. Let me read one more verse in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. It says, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. There would come a time where God would work in the hearts of men and women and change their hearts, that they would be able to keep this command and live. And what has he done? Sent the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And Jesus Christ, he suffered on the cross for people who have broken this command. And as God works in your heart, and as you look in faith to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and God changes your heart, he works in your heart and he changes you, and you trust that Jesus has died in your place, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives within and gives you power to keep this command. You see, you could never keep this command as you ought, but Christ died on the cross And when you trust him and the Holy Spirit comes and lives within and changes your heart, he gives you the power to keep this command as you should. So let's go back to that question that we had at the start. Where do your thoughts go throughout the day? As you wake up, as you go to bed, throughout the day, are you thinking, how can I please God? How can I love God with my whole being today? Do you consider your day and think, what does it look like for me to love God with all my heart today? Look back at the cross. Remember what Christ has done, that he has suffered on the cross. And in response, in obedience, seek to love him with all your heart. Think about it through the day. Ask yourself this question: how can I, this week, love God more than I did the previous week? How can I grow in my love for God? Remember the cross and love him in obedience, in response to what he's done for you on the cross. Let's close and have our final hymn. 618, Lord Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. Let's stand and sing this hymn together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love to us. We thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Father, we do pray that this week you would help us to love you more in response to all that you have done for us. We pray that others around might know whether that's family or friends or work colleagues. We pray that others would know that we love you and we seek to live to please you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.